Florence Joseph, one of the interviewers. I was wondering how the destruction of the Stanton Heights shopping center fit into all this.
Well, there too, race played a very, very heavy hand. Mr. Taunton, who was the owner of much of the property and the developer of the shopping center, who was the one that had stirred up the opposition to Dr. Nickens buying his home, had consistently revealed very anti-black attitudes. And you know, it was a big social class issue too, because the Garfield Heights public housing community is directly across the street from the shopping center. And so there was lots of feeling that people had about all of those poor black folks moving in there when the shopping center got developed. It was just about the same time Garfield Heights housing community was being developed. They opened simultaneously, almost within a year of each other. And Mr. Taunton would do nothing to maintain that shopping center. He never put in an extra crew to do cleaning. He never put in security. He kept saying that the individual merchants had to do that. Well, in a good shopping center where they really want to keep it up, you know that they put in security. He would even put in waste baskets, big trash cans. He said, well, all those terrible people at Garfield Heights would just come and steal it. I mean, he was unbelievably, I think he actually was Southern in background, and he was very, very prejudiced, very overtly so.
From the beginning.
From the beginning, and I think that in many ways a lot of us believe that what happened to that shopping center was almost a self-fulfilling prophecy on his part. Now, others would have a different view of that, but mm-hmm. a number of us worked very hard to try to keep that from going under. It was a great, great boon to our community as well as to Garfield Heights to have that there. And it was thriving the first number of years it was there. Then the Mellon Bank closed, the little service bank that was there, saying it was because there had been a robbery. Well, none of us believe that because every bank has robberies. Mm-hmm. They really wanted not to maintain a convenience bank. It wasn't a full service bank. And then Kroger's went on strike, and a whole bunch of their stores never reopened, and this was one of them. And then the other stores who needed an anchor store started really to go under, and there seemed no way to reverse it. And he did nothing to help. He would not give people a break on the rent in order to get the stores filled. Well, that's what any enterprising developer is going to do if he really cares about keeping it open. It seemed clear to us that he, to many of us, that he didn't want to keep it open. And he wanted to be able to say it was the black community contiguous to the shopping center that caused it, that there was pilferage and whatever. Well, there was no more of that there, as far as any of us could tell, than in most other places. It was not, we didn't have a huge number of holdups. We did, there was one episode of bank thieves, and they caught them. And I don't think there was pilferage in the stores, but I don't suppose there's any store that has open shelves where they're not experiencing, or where they don't experience a lot of pilfering. It was that he just let it go under. He did nothing to reverse it. We tried and tried and tried. We met and met and met with him, and we could never get any concessions. No merchants that moved into the empty storefronts could get concessions. And he would not provide security, and he would not provide cleanup crews. So it just gradually started to look worse and worse. And as business went down, you know, it is such an accelerating process. As business goes down, they could less afford to pay for security, could right. less afford to pay for cleanup, and he would not do it. And actually, when it closed, one or two stores stayed open until fairly recently. But when it closed, I gather that he didn't really lose a lot of money, because he got all kinds of tax breaks for it. So there it sits, an absolute urban blight. But we've tried to get it developed. There were a number of developers interested in developing it, but a whole bunch of the residents on Rosecrest opposed that. And as one of the reporters said, when all of that up and down about that was going on, there was a huge amount of community conflict over that. It was not a race issue, because almost all the people on Rosecrest at that point that were opposing it were black, but it was a real social class issue, because they were very middle and upper middle class, and I think they feared that if the housing got developed, there's 26 acres back there.
Wow.
The housing got developed along with the shopping center, that it would be poor blacks, although that was not what was supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But they never believed it. So we had enormous amounts of community conflict over that development.
But why did the housing issue come in?
Well,
if
because
it was just
they,
a market area.
Well, because you could not buy, no developer coming in could buy just the shopping center.
It was,
I think that's called RP, in which the whole property has to be handled as one, the 26 acres. And so all of the developers that came up, well, there were a number of different developers came up with propositions, wanted to use the part of that acreage for housing and then part for the shopping center. And most of them wanted to expand the shopping center, and the people on Rosecrest objected to that also. They would, they just did not want anything to happen down. So it's just been sitting. Urban blight, paramount. I mean, just dreadful. Taunton no longer owns it, and one of the developers that really tried to get it developed bought it for a rather handsome piece of cash and has been holding it since. And now there's a black church that's bought part of it just recently. It's not a Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist group from Garfield, I think. And some people in the community are trying to get the rest of it developed. And nothing's happened. I mean, there's nothing that you can see visibly, but there is a zoning notice up, and apparently they're going to start building in the spring. Well, that will be a very good use for it. It'll be fine. I mean, anything's better than what's there.
How do these people manage now until there's no community shopping area?
They have to jump in a little car and go off.
Either
to East Liberty or to Bloomfield or to Lawrenceville. We're very close to Lawrenceville, but you can't walk.
No.
So you really
have to have transportation to get there.
Yes.
Or take buses, I assume.
Well, most people don't do that. Most of them go in cars. Very few people live in our neighborhood that don't have cars, because it is it's difficult to manage without cars. And we were just talking about that, but the public transportation is difficult. For the people in the public housing community, there's a high rise for seniors there. It's a dreadful disadvantage for them, dreadful. And I think most of them use jitneys and go little groups to
access
shop.
Or for the elderly.
The jitneys.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting how when you were there and your children were young, the place was just coming up and expanding and beautiful, and then things just, our community goes down.
Right. Well, I think most of the people who were black in the main that opposed the development of a new shopping center had not lived there when it had been functioning. And when it had been functioning, it was fabulous. I mean, you could hardly get into the parking lot on an evening. You know, it was so crowded and busy. But most of them never experienced it, so they saw it more as sort of a threat than an actual advantage. And it had been a marvelous advantage. Mm-hmm. It had been just so wonderful to have a shopping center which had hours till 9 o'clock, you know, in the sort of the suburban mode, and the ones in the city then did not. This was before they developed the great big ones and had the 24-hour shopping and so forth. So I don't think they have any appreciation of what an advantage that was, truly.
Right.
I think that their fear was that a lot of poor black folks were going to move in behind them, and they worried about their property values.
Right. In your neighborhood, you mentioned there are a few black families.
Yes,
wondered, is there social interaction? Are there such things as street parties where everybody participates?
Yeah, on some blocks. On some blocks, there's a great deal of that. That goes on other blocks, not so much, but I think certainly general friendliness.
There is general friendliness.
Oh, yes. We have a young black family beside us who sweep away our snow when the snow comes.
Isn't that really nice?
And it's very nice to have young people back in the community again. I mean, for a long time, we were all getting older, as we all are.
Yes.
And then as young people started to move in, you began to see children again, and that's been very nice.
Good.
Yeah, so generally, yes, I think there's good harmony. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much intimacy, but certainly good neighborliness.
Right, good. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk a little bit now as you're looking forward to retirement.
Well, I'm presumably retired.
Well, I just wondered what you see yourself doing. Do you have plans or thoughts of what you're going to do when you're...
I don't know. I think we were talking about a little bit, but... you know, we just retired as of January 1st, and then our Russian...
That was official.
Officially. And then our Russian relatives arrived, and then we were on heavy duty activity with them for 4 weeks, and then they left, and then we said, well, now we've got to think about what we're going to do about retirement. And I'm sure that what we will do is there's some activities we will pursue, exercise programs we must both pursue, desperately must. And I've been taking piano lessons, and I stopped when the Russians came, so I'll do that again. I'll probably take violin lessons again. I need to find an orchestra to play in that won't make me audition. I refuse to play in public, and I'm afraid that that leaves the Ike's Orchestra, the JCC, out of my ken, but maybe the Wilkinsburg Orchestra. I'll find one. And I intend to continue all of my organizational activities. And I'll keep teaching at least through fall. I'm going to teach again.
Oh, you will continue to teach. I mean, so you're not in full retirement.
I'm in full retirement, but you have that choice. And I'm going to do that this fall, and then I'm going to see if I want to keep doing that. Mm-hmm. I'm still guiding students' research. I still have five or six doctoral dissertation. Their dissertation chair. I will not take new ones on, but I will finish with the ones I have. And I'm still active with the Senate. I'm a past president of the University Senate, and I've been very active with the Senate for some years. And I chair the Anti-Discrimination Committee, and I'm on the Tenure and Academic Freedom Committee, which I used to chair. And I will keep that up, at least for now, I intend to do that.
Is your husband also keeping his hand in some business?
Well, he doesn't intend to, but they keep calling him.
Oh, just like you.
Do, and he's really trying to extricate, but he's having trouble extricating.
Did he retire at the same time?
Yes, he sold his business so we could both retire as of December 31st, but he's in there a lot, more than he really expected to be. They're not letting go very easily. So.
Well, I know you had talked on pre-retirement plans, and I wonder what kind of plans you and your husband made pre-retirement in anticipation of.
Yeah, well, we'll do a lot more traveling than we do.
You
I'm
will.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we always have done some traveling, but we will do more. We're going tonight, this very afternoon, to Florida to visit my sister. Although we've done that before, but we are doing that. And then we have grandchildren graduating in June and some family activities and so forth. So we will do that, and we will, I'm sure, travel more than we did.
But I sense that you want to keep your contacts here for a while.
Yes, for now.
You're not quite ready to cut the umbilical cord, so to speak.
Right, although I will do that more and more, I'm sure. I can see that I will do that.
Yes.
That I won't keep coming in here as often. And so. Mm-hmm. You have to do that as a process.
Right.
You know, in terms of commitments that I have.
The commitments to your students.
To my students.
Will you be teaching the course too?
In the fall.
You will
be teaching.
Two
courses.
I see. Is that because you're the only one who teaches this?
No, they got substitutes to teach the one course for me. It's the course of the death and dying that's been taught all three semesters. So they got someone to teach it this winter and again in the summer, and then I'll teach it in the fall.
I see.
That was just because it's my course.
Ah, it's yours.
And then I'll teach the family violence, but I co-teach that with Judy Martin. So.
I see.
We said we would do that again this fall.
So you're going to go out slowly.
Slowly.
Because it's hard to let go if you've been so active.
It's felt right to do the courses. And now, after I do them this fall, I may decide that it's wrong, because it does tie you down.
Oh, yes. You can't travel quite as much if you're...
Yeah, well, that's why I was only willing to do it in the fall, because the weather's so gorgeous here in the fall, then they're less likely to go trotting away.
And the other thing is that your husband is making some plans to try to retire, and you're here and he's at home. It isn't quite as
comfortable. Well, we didn't want that to happen. No. That's why we planned to do it together.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so he understands that.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had really arranged it that way.
Tell me, how was this honor that you received? You told us you were to receive it last Friday afternoon.
An honors convocation, yes. It was a distinguished professor of public service. And that was very nice.
Did you get a plaque? Did you get a...
Nothing. I understand there's something I have to get, but I haven't gotten it
yet. Oh, I see.
There is something somewhere that I have to get.
I see.
And then I get money.
Oh, as nice.
A cash award.
Good.
Money for me and money for some worthy cause that I can designate.
Good. Do you know what you're going
yes,
to give
to
it
to? Yes, to the self-help group network.
Oh, that's good. That's with Betty?
Yes. She's my sister-in-law. Betty Hepburn.
Oh, I didn't know Betty Hepburn was your sister.
Yeah.
I see.
And I'm past president of that board and been a charter member of that organization's board. So I decided after much cogitation that I would do that.
What is that organization about, for the record?
That's an organization that coordinates activities and gives support to self-help groups. So they do training, they do seminars, they help self-help groups get started, provide information about self-help, and they're very poor. They need money.
Mm-hmm. They go on.
So we do fundraising to try to just support them. We have an office and a staff.
Mm-hmm. Did you give a speech Friday afternoon?
No.
Oh, you just had to receive it and smile.
Yeah.
That's very nice. Were some of your colleagues there?
Oh, yes.
Good. So you got good support.
My family was all there.
Oh, that's very nice.
It was.
Yeah, that's a real honor. It's a nice way to go out from a position at the university.
It was lovely. It was really nice.
Good. Are there any other things that you'd like to tell us about that we haven't covered, things about yourself? This was a fascinating story of your work, personal activities.
Mm-hmm.
Were there other things that we missed up on?
Trying to think of what other activities I've been part of. There have been so many that I've been part of over the years. But I think that's a pretty good overview of some of them. Not probably of all
this
of them.
Activities, you've been so involved. Were your parents like that too? Where did it all come from?
My grandmother. I had a grandmother who was very involved.
Uh-huh.
And I think I'm much more in her mold.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My mother was very active with PTA, particularly. She had been president of the Colfax PTA and the Alderdice PTA and such. She was not as active in other community groups, but my grandmother was active in everything.
Really? She encouraged you? Is this your maternal or paternal?
Yes, my father's mother. Well, just by role modeling, she
did.
I thought she was just wonderful.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't talk to her because she didn't speak English and I didn't speak Yiddish, but we loved each other.
And you understood just by her warmth.
Oh, yes, you know, you can communicate around all kinds of things.
Is your sister an active?
Not as active as I have been. She is someone now. Her husband taught at Pitt also and retired 2 years ago. And so Joan has gotten much more active in the last year with Hadassah and National Council of Jewish Women.
Yes.
But never as active
as
generally as I have been.
Uh-huh. How about your children? Have they inherited this
desire
to do and to be a part of
it? Yes. Well, I knew that they would grow up either to desire it or to hate it. I mean, I always could tell that it was one or the other.
Uh-huh.
But they're more active than not active.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, in most things.
That's good.
Yeah.
So you can feel you gave them something
definitely.
That
they
could hold on to.
Tend to be pretty active, either politically or in various community activities.
Are they active in a lot of Jewish aspects of their
community? Not really. I mean, they're all raising their children, they're all intermarried, our children, but they're all raising their children as Jewish.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So all the children are Jewish and go to Sunday school. And
right.
We'll be going when they get old enough to Hebrew mm-hmm. school and such. And all of the three oldest, who are the children of our daughter in Berkeley, were all bar or bat mitzvah mm-hmm. and so forth. So they've all been very identified.
Oh, yeah. And they get identification.
As most Jews do, the synagogue on the high holidays.
Yes.
That sort of thing.
Yes.
And the kids are all going to Sunday school or Hebrew school.
Was this at your urging, Barbara, or was this something that came
of
them?
They wanted to do. I mean, we're really pleased. Mm-hmm. We would have hoped so, but it's true, they do it.
Yes.
All of them.
Good.
All raising their children as Jewish. Mm-hmm. But the activities, I mean, our daughter in Washington is just extremely active in activities related to children. She runs an agency that serves teenagers, and she's on a million committees there, but very much related to that interest. Mm-hmm. And our oldest daughter has been more politically involved in Berkeley. It's hard not to be.
Yeah.
It's an active community, you
right,
might say.
Right.
And our son's been very, they've been very active in activity with Witness for Peace, which is a group that got involved in the Nicaraguan situation and so forth, and continue to be active there. They've adopted two children from Guatemala. Mm-hmm. But they have said they've gone down there, they've taught there and done various kinds of mm-hmm. service under the auspices of Witness for Peace. Mm-hmm. And Bonnie's very active, our youngest, particularly in the PTA at this point.
Good. Do you manage to get together for any Jewish holidays or
the best we could do?
The best you
we
can do.
We try at least once a year and really try for twice a year. Now this year, as many of us as can get there are going to be in Emerald Isle, take a cottage down in North Carolina. We've done that for a couple of years.
In the summer?
In the summer.
Uh-huh.
and we will probably try to meet at Hanukkah time at some place. We're not quite sure where. Try to get everybody
together. You've done
together.
This before?
Yes.
That's very nice. So all the children get to see their grandparents and
get to see their cousins.
Gifts from grandparents and cousins.
Right.
Do they keep in close contact,
our
children
talk to each other a lot.
Children?
Yeah, more that they talk to each other.
Yeah,
these are young children.
Yeah, because they're so scattered.
Yeah, but they talk to each other
mm-hmm.
quite regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk to them quite regularly, at least once a week.
And do you go visit
mm-hmm.
through the year, you and your husband?
We do.
To each of the four children?
Yeah, well, when the Siberians were here, we carried them off to Tucson and then up to California. Then we were in Washington, and then David came up from Durham to meet us there.
Now, these Siberians, are they related to you or your husband?
My husband.
Oh, I see. Do you have Russian family too?
Well, if we do, we don't know it. I mean,
they
are from there, but we don't know that any are alive.
I see. But you trace these people down, these
Jack
relatives?
Yeah, Jack.
Uh-huh.
Worked for years to find them and finally found them.
He knew them through his parents?
He knew that they were there. He just didn't have an address.
And he had never met them before?
No. Before we went there. After we found them, we went to visit them.
Oh, we went to visit.
Yeah, and then they came here.
And then you invited them here?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
your children got to meet their father's relatives?
Yeah. They were all very thrilled with the whole thing.
Do you see it as an ongoing thing?
Well, we hope so. Jack would like to see some of the other relatives go visit them.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see who gets the bug to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll keep in touch with them, clearly.
Can they communicate with each other?
You have to use a translator.
Even when they were staying here, you have a translator?
Well, I mean, Jack pieced together some Russian with his... He's been taking some Russian lessons and with his dictionary. But when we had complicated things to say to each other, or when we'd have other people in, family and so forth, to be with them, we'd always have to translate.
Good. Well, listen, it's been a real pleasure.
I'm glad. I've enjoyed talking to both of you.
And we'd like if you have at some point a picture of yourself that either you... send in to the National Council if you have it here. Or if you have any kind of articles that has you, that you've written that you might like to put in this history program for us?
The file would be too thick.
No, just a couple, just something that we would know. There you are. You're finding some. We'll let you select the one you like the best for the records.
Which of these is any good? You think
that's a beauty?
Okay, well,
yes, that's
nice
a beautiful one.
Then you don't have that one.
Nice.
You can see that I'm ready to get some new ones. I'm almost out of them. Here's another one, so see which of these you prefer.
I think this is... All righty. I like this. This looks more like the lady I know.
Okay, then let me take that. I don't even know which of these... came first, I can't remember.
Do you have any idea really about what year this was? Oh, you have it. 90.
Do I have a date on the back?
Yes. Yes. That's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'd like to, and if you have one or two articles that you would have around that we might take, either take with us or you send to the National Council
Office.
Yeah,
I need a look, because I just got recent of an article that just appeared. An affiliate. They just sent it to me. I don't know where I put it though.
No.
Clean up this thing on my desk.
Yes, you have quite
papers.
A bit to look at.
I have quite a. I can open the window and throw it.
Well, you're not
going to
go through it before Florida.
Well, I just got it.
Oh.
So it should be near the top of the pile.
I see.
However, I don't see it, so I'll have to get it out for you.
Okay,
yes.
We'll.
I will. Okay.
You know
I
where
have,
National
I have a
Council
number
is.
Of reprints. I do.
Thank you very, very
much. You're very
much.
Welcome. It's been nice meeting and talking with you.
Yes, we're going to miss you.
Really?
Yeah,
I'll miss both of you. I'll miss our conversations.
I think you'll probably have a richer retirement.
Yes, we hope you have a beautiful retirement.